1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. You may have heard yesterday in the UK, it's not anything to do with Brexit, but the Environment Secretary, Michael Gove, they're introducing what's known as Lucy's Law. Lucy was a King Charles Spaniel who died in 2016 after being poorly treated, horribly treated, on a puppy farm. And in the course of the debate, a number of MPs made the point that the main source of puppy farms trade to England is from Ireland, believe it or not. They say every year 30,000 pups from Irish puppy farms come to England, and Lucy's Law means that from now on, they can no longer, pups or kittens can no longer be sold in pet shops, and they can only be bought from reputable breeders. Now, are there puppy farms in Ireland? Are they legal? By the way, you cannot buy a puppy in a pet shop in Ireland, we're told, or a kitten. Gerard, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You reckon you did buy a pup from a puppy farm. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, I feel a bit silly for doing it, but I was telling your researcher at the beginning of May, we had dogs for 28 years, and last Halloween, our last dog passed away suddenly. So we got through the winter without the dog, and then at the beginning of May, she wore me down and says, OK, then we'll go and get another dog.
OK.
So she did the Facebook stuff, and we discovered there was two dogs, male and female, available in Cavan. So we entered the phone number, and we made the appointment to be there on the Friday for 12 o'clock. I was late; I was there about one, and I didn't know the exact address. So I phoned the number again, and we were met at a petrol station.
Okay.
We drove up farm roads or back roads outside Cavan. And we brought on to a farm where there was two dogs left in the like a garage or a shed and it was like a playpen. The dogs were hemmed in, and there was a very strong stench smell of dog, I just assumed it was just dogs.
Yeah.
She had told us then that there were four. The first person came and took two, male and female. We signed the papers very, very quickly for the dog that we got, and we were in and out and gone in less than 5 minutes. Now, coming home in the car, I thought, this dog, if I was presenting something to a customer, I would have it rolled up with a bow on it, if you know what I'm trying to say. But the dog smelled bad.
Okay.
And we were about 6 miles outside Cavan, and the dog was sick on my wife's knee. Now, fortunately enough, we had the necessary stuff, and I could pull in, and we stopped, and we looked after the dog. Got home, washed the dog because we knew that the colour of the dog wasn't right, to discover that the dog was more blonde than the original colour because it was dirty. It had poo stains embedded into its skin. It was dehydrated. And fortunately enough, and the only reason I'm making the call is that when my wife brought the dog to the vet, the vet says they can do nothing about this, that it's up to us to report this incident to the RSPCA, which we have done. And then, coincidentally, your show came up with this today at 1 o'clock.
And by the way, how is the dog now, more importantly?
The dog's getting better. The antibiotics have kicked in, and it's drinking and eating well.
Okay.
What's
your pet's name?
I can't say.
Okay, fine.
We'll call it Bailey.
Bailey?
Bailey. It looks like Bailey's cream.
Okay.
You know. Fabulous looking thing.
So we're calling him Bailey for tax reasons, so he's not identified. Okay, so Bailey has improved. But what was Bailey chipped, by the way, before Bailey arrived?
Yes, and that's something that, you see, we bought the dog to the vet last Saturday, and the dog, I don't mean give us an eating, but told us, you know, don't go to Cavan and get a dog, because it's notorious for farms. I didn't know this.
Cavan is?
I didn't know this. So then I looked at my paperwork, and I discovered, yes, I have the dog chipped and I have its registration, but it was chipped by a vet in Dublin. And I'm not going to give you a name over the phone, but it's here.
And one of the vets say to you, even if you wanted to make a complaint about this, is there any government body that you can complain to? In other words, anybody or institution that has power?
All she said to us is that if you want to take this further, the RSPCA.
Okay, but that's all we got. They're a private, voluntary, independent fundraising. Say there, Jared, 51551 Joe at RT.ie. Brian Watson is in Galway. Brian, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks. You say you have been on a puppy farm in Ireland?
In Cavan, in fact.
In Cavan.
And to be honest, I was surprised when I went there to find how clean, well-run and well-cared for the dogs were. There wasn't any smell in the place at all. It was bright. The dogs were forward-coming. You know, all the puppies are very confident and everything like that. Now, having said that, it's not the way I would keep dogs personally.
Well, just give us a bigger description, Brian, in terms of how big, how many dogs, were they in pens?
In the shed I was in, it was like a big barn.
Okay. Indoors,
yeah. Okay. Well-lit, clean, warm, no drafts, purpose-built. I think he had about 60 or 70 bitches with pups in this particular shed. They had a roster for walking the dogs. They were all pedigreed. They were all properly cared for, you know. So, I mean, presumably they're inspected and so on. There are different people. I breed dogs. I've got like two bitches that I breed. They're my pet dogs. And, you know, there are people like this puppy farm, which is obviously very well run. And there are other people with dirty dogs like that man, not properly cared for, not healthy, not properly handled. And those are the people who need to be got rid of, get them out of this business.
So, how many do you, insofar as you can guess, Brian, how many dogs on this puppy farm?
Well, like I said, in the one shed I was in, there was, I think, at least 60 bitches with pups. So there must be more bitches elsewhere and stud dogs as well. So it was a big enterprise. But like I say, it wasn't... I mean, my wife wasn't happy when she came with me. She saw what was going on because the dogs were all kept in pens. But there was a roster on the wall for walking the dogs.
For walking the dogs?
Yeah, for bringing them out for a walk.
What brought you to the puppy farm?
I actually accidentally bought a dog from it. I didn't know it come from there, so I went to see what it was like.
And how's that dog worked out?
She's great. She's a lovely dog.
Okay. Brian, what is there? You say it was in Cavan. Is there a sign on the road saying puppy farm this way?
No, it's just a farm. You know, it's just a big farm. No. The guy's name was on the pedigree certificate. There was nothing underhanded about it like that, you know. Now, how he sells his pups, I've no idea. I don't know what he does with the pups. We produce a lot of pups, so presumably they all go to the UK. But it's got harder to bring dogs over there now. For me, I used to sell dogs in England, but it's difficult to do that now because of all these laws and restrictions. And one of the things that doesn't help is Ireland has the most restrictive legislation on rabies in Europe, even though we don't have rabies. So ridiculous.
And how many dogs have you got yourself?
Six dogs.
Are you a breeder?
Yeah.
And the breeders have to be registered because...
No. Well, you do if you have more than, I think, five bitches. I'm not sure. But I just have two bitches that I breed at the moment. I had three. Yeah.
Would people ever say to you, you're a puppy farmer?
Well, if they do, I just laugh at them. I mean, anybody can come to me and see my dogs. I've got a Facebook page there you can see all my dogs, and you can talk to people who bought dogs from me. All of them are very happy with them, you know. And you can come to my house anytime.
Okay, let me go back.
Meet my dogs.
Okay.
So, I mean, there are different people in this business, you know what I mean? For me, it's more of a hobby. It's something I do for the love of it, as well as I make some money as well, but it's mostly for the love of the dogs.
But a puppy farm is primarily for money.
Well, it's totally for money, yeah.
Totally, okay.
And they can make good money, you know. But they're not all shady, underhanded, illegal, dirty, disreputable enterprises. But a lot of these things were set up with government money as an alternative farm enterprise. I think the biggest... somebody said that most dogs in Ireland, in England, arrive from Ireland. I read that it was from Wales. And lots of puppy farms are set up in Wales.
Well, there's apparently... The three sources I heard mentioned on... BBC radio last night where, and this is from the House of Commons, it was Ireland, 30,000 a year, Wales and Romania.
Romania, really?
Romania, yeah. Okay, let me bring Michelle King in. Michelle, your point, please, 51551.
To be honest, if you're going to pay a disreputable breeder for a dog, you kind of are literally paying more than money. You deserve everything you get. There are thousands of dogs in this country who need rehoming, regardless of bad breeding. There are thousands of dogs dumped in this country.
Yeah.
And for somebody to go out and pay 500, 800, 1,000 euro for a dog when there are thousands of dogs waiting to be rehomed is just insane to me.
So what do you think of Gerard buying a dog for 400 euros?
He deserves all he gets.
Now, what do you mean by that? It's very harsh, Michelle.
It's not harsh. If he had, I don't know whether he's from Dublin or not, but if he had gone to any rescue charity, he could have got a perfectly healthy, well-checked-out dog who was nationally registered and properly legally checked. And it would have cost him maybe 100 euro.
Gerard?
Okay, but I didn't want to do that. We did enough homework because, as I said, I've had dogs for 28 years. I know what I want, I know what I like, and I know how to care for dogs. There was no dogs
that we wanted.
Excuse me, I didn't interrupt you. Would you have a bit of manners, please? Thank you. We looked for dogs, but the dog that we specifically wanted was not available until we saw one on Facebook. So we did not know we were going to a puppy farm. And that's why I am embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to be on the phone talking about I bought a dog from a puppy farm. And I didn't know. I didn't mean to.
But, Jared, do you believe
I rescued the dog now.
Okay.
But do you not think that the minute you walked onto a puppy farm and you knew exactly where you were, you should have just walked away?
I didn't know it was a puppy farm. There wasn't puppy farm written all over the walls. It was a shed at the back of a farmhouse.
And did you see the mother and the father?
No, I didn't. And that's when I got suspicious.
And at that point, you should have walked away.
I know that now. But the way I look on it, I'm sorry I didn't take the other dog. And then I would have saved two dogs. But I just didn't have the money.
Well, I would be very surprised.
Don't be getting all righteous with yourself. I rescued a dog, and the dog will be happy for the next 15, 16 years here.
And you paid over to
it doesn't matter what I paid for it. I would have paid double the money if I thought, looking back on it, to rescue the dog.
But you're encouraging
I'm not.
The puppy
why am I on the phone? Listen, Cheryl, with all due respect, why am I on the phone? I'm not bragging about the situation. I'm making people aware that I know where there's a puppy farm in Cavan, and I'm not proud of it.
Are puppy farms, Michelle, are puppy farms banned in Ireland?
No, puppy farms are not banned in Ireland.
Should they be?
Yes, they should be.
Of course they should be.
Mothers are tortured. Mothers are overbred. They're kept in small little cages.
Okay.
They are overbred to the point where they have problems internally, and most of them end up dead.
And when you say overbred,
because they're overbred.
And when you say overbred, like how many pups would a mother be expected to have?
Well, a mother can have anything up to 6 pups or 8 pups at a time, like twice a year.
Yeah, but how many times are they expected to breed?
Well, Joe, can I reply
twice
to that?
Twice a year, my God.
Cutting across you, it's Jared here, Joe.
Yes, Jared.
That we looked at the Facebook page where we got our dog to discover that there was 4 more dogs available 10 days later.
So it's flying, it's working away.
It seems to be.
And there won't be just one mother there.
I can't say, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Michelle, can you buy a pup in a pet shop in Ireland legally?
No, thankfully.
You can in the UK, you know, that's why they're changing.
I didn't know you could do that in the UK.
That's why they're bringing in this new law called Lucy's Law.
I welcome that with open arms. That's a great idea.
You have to buy them now from breeders directly. Caroline's story, 51551, Joe at RT. Well, you're by Caroline. Caroline.
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Great. Yes, sorry, what was your question?
The question was your call saying you can buy pups in a pet shop in Ireland.
You can buy pups in pet shops. It's not illegal. It's absolutely not illegal in this country. It's just that very few pet shops sell them.
And when is the last time you saw a pup for sale in a pet shop?
Well, I can tell you there was one last year, and there's one currently being advertised on Facebook in Cork.
In a pet shop?
In a pet shop.
In a pet shop.
Well, if it's actually up as advertised, then are you going to name the pet shop?
Yeah, we need to check it out, Michelle.
Well, I can provide that information later, and you can go and check it. Okay. But absolutely, it is legal. It's just that very few places do it.
And why do very few places do it?
I think there's a growing backlash against this. I mean, pet shops are not places for puppies to be sold in. And I do know that the place in north of Dublin that was selling them, there were health issues for the pups. It is not a place for a pup to be in a hot shop with incorrect socialization. You're not meeting its health or physiological needs, anything. So it's just not right.
But are you saying it's an unwritten law or agreement among pet shop owners not to sell puppies?
I don't know if it's an unwritten law or what there is, but it doesn't happen. But
okay,
it is still legal.
Okay, Joe at rt.ie. Shane Walsh. Shane.
Yep.
You own Breffni Pets in Dundrum. Now, what is the law?
There is no law. She was right about that. But it's just you pet shops don't do sell dogs. They shouldn't, like she was saying there. Don't agree with it.
Yeah, but Caroline's saying shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't, but they do.
It's very, very rare if they do. And okay. You would have to search. You wouldn't be going to your local pet shop and asking for a dog. They'd give you the... Say if somebody came in here to me, asked me for a specific dog, I'd tell them I'd ring the Kennel Club and ask them for breeders. They will pass on phone numbers of breeders of who's legally breeding the dog and go that way. There needs to be new laws put in place on how to buy a dog, on how to breed a dog, on how to sell a dog. There has to be new laws. This way of puppy farms, all that stuff, it's horrible. It's nightmare.
What is the law on puppy farms, Shane? Do you know?
There is no law in Ireland on puppy farms. That's the thing. That's the big problem.
Can I just step in for a second? There actually is law. There's quite a good law in Ireland, the Dog Breeding Establishments Act. And there are accompanying guidelines. But the problem is,
one is
lack of enforcement.
Yeah.
And two, they don't go far enough. If you're allowing one puppy farmer to have over 300 breeding bitches, now that's just the female dogs, it doesn't include the puppies or the male dogs, then you're out of control. Nobody can look after 300 breeding bitches.
No.
Well, does the department or anyone raid those puppy farms and can they get them on?
Yeah, they open them up the next day.
Up until recently, Joe, I think the guidelines changed last year, you were inspected, but there was notice given before inspections. So you might be given 2 weeks' notice. Mm-hmm. So you have plenty of time to clean up.
There was
now they are allowed to carry out unannounced inspections.
There was a guy who actually was arrested, and he's got a 3-year prison sentence for cruelty to animals. Now,
and does anyone know? I don't start mentioning court case because I've no access to them at this stage, Michelle. But in fairness, Michelle, is it true when people say it's all in Cavan?
No, it happens all over Ireland.
Well, why is everyone mentioning Cavan to me?
Well, because of one specific case. It's got more publicity than anywhere else. And maybe...
But actually,
maybe
Wexford and Carlow and Cork have very high numbers of puppy farms.
So that's why when the UK Parliament says there are 30,000 pups coming in from Ireland every year, that's what...
Joe, can I just say one thing? If you are going to insist on buying a dog from a puppy farm or from somebody like that, you go to the premises, you don't meet people in garages, you see the mother and you see the father, and then you decide whether or not you're going to buy a dog.
So you're
if you saw the condition of some of the mothers in these puppy farms, you wouldn't go anywhere next night or near them. So
Jared made a mistake meeting someone in a garage.
Absolutely.
Do you accept that, Jared? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I didn't know. That's not the way the dog was advertised to me, Joe, at the time. And
yeah, okay. Francis, say that, Jared. Francis Fulham. Francis, where did you buy your puppy?
Hiya, Joe. We bought our puppy in Offaly.
Yeah.
We saw her on Gun Deal one Saturday morning. I rang the number, arranged to go down. and collected the dog from a farm. Now, I got lost about five times on the way because it was down down a few boreens. That's her barking in the background. A few boreens, so it would have been handy to have met somebody in a garage, whatever, that I could at least got there quicker. But, I mean, the farm was a proper working farm. There were cattle and there were sheep and there were chickens. They had the dogs in a shed at the back.
How many dogs, Francis?
There were three when we got there. I understand from the ad there might have been six or seven in the litter, and the rest of them had gone.
So it wasn't a puppy farm?
No, this wasn't a puppy farm. This was buying a pup from a farm.
Okay, and how was the journey back? What condition was the dog in?
Well, I was interested in what your caller was saying.
Jared,
the dog getting sick. I mean, our dog got sick three times on the way up to Dublin. I mean, this is a puppy's first time ever in a car.
Okay.
Terrified. She was sitting on my daughter's lap in the back. The time she got to Dublin, she was dehydrated, but, you know, give her some water and something to eat, and an hour later, she was perfect, you know.
The car thing, dogs getting sick in a car is just common. It's like kids getting sick in a car. They get motion sick.
Yeah, but there was a lot more wrong with your dog, wasn't there? A lot more wrong with Bailey, Jared.
There was mucus and blood.
We let people finish.
Oh, God.
Okay. Caroline Story, Jared, Francis Fuller, Michelle King, Shane Walsh. Thank you all. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Bridget, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. What happened?
Myself and my dad were driving along a rural road and I seen a lovely golden Labrador.
Okay.
Who seemed to be struggling to walk. So I said, stop. I think there's something wrong with that dog.
Okay.
So he stopped and I got out to check on her and it was quite clear she couldn't walk properly. And next thing, she just got into the Jeep with us. Very friendly dog. And poor dad had just bought a new Jeep at the time and he goes, oh my God, that dog stinks. And I said, look, I'll get her home and I'll advertise her from there. Cut long story short, not one person contacted me about her. No one seemed to own her. I brought her to the local vet to see was she microchipped. She wasn't. And the local vet said, look, this dog has come from a puppy farm. Do you see how saggy she is underneath, where she's had puppies after puppies after puppies?
Oh, God.
The reason she couldn't walk was because her feet were infected. Her nails had grown back into the pads on her feet and pierced them, and they were infected really bad.
I can imagine, yeah.
So that's why she couldn't walk.
Bridget, did the vet have any, I don't know how you would do it, but given that they can have pups twice a year, up to six or even more at a time, did the vet have any idea how many pups that bitch would have given birth to?
She didn't put a number on it, but she would said, like, look how bad she is underneath. And you could quite see, like, the skin was so loose and, like, the dog was wore out.
The machine they were using, the poor dog has. And where is the dog now?
I would have loved to have kept the dog. She was so friendly and lovely, but my own dogs didn't want her here, so I rehomed her.
Fair play.
And I still get photos of her for how well she's doing. She's spoiled rotten. And she's just a beautiful, well-trained. She was obviously somebody's pet. I'd say she was stolen years ago from someone. Just used for years until she was spent, pretty much.
Okay. But that dog is doing fine now, isn't he? That's your
absolutely
last text.
Absolutely so happy,
there, yeah.
So spoiled. Got a lovely home.
Okay, let me go to Andrew Lunn, 51551. When did you see this suspicious van, Andrew?
I don't know, sometime last year.
Okay.
I think it was about August last year.
What happened? What did you see?
Right, Friday afternoon, it was about lunchtime, 1 o'clock.
Right.
I pulled into the motorway services just south of Dundalk.
Okay.
And a plain white van pulled in alongside. Your woman come out, she opened the side loading door and there was just loads of puppies in there, all in small cages, etc.
Yeah.
Now, it was a UK Reg, there was no vents, holes on it, there was no fan on the ceiling. You see them sometimes, these vans that are properly adapted to carry dogs, but this thing was just plain white.
No ventilation, and,
nothing. And the time of the afternoon, it was just right for going for the ferry. There's two ferries from Dublin Paws about 3 o'clock.
Okay, that's right, yeah.
So I thought, right, what will I do? So I looked up the number of Dublin DSPCA.
Okay.
Sadly, nobody answered, so I left a message. So this is where it got interesting. I thought, right, I'll try ringing the Dublin Port Police.
Oh, good idea, yeah.
Yeah,
and you had a reg number and a description of the van.
Oh, yeah, I had the reg number, and, you know, I think it was a Volkswagen, plain white van. But unfortunately, they don't seem to have a phone number. you can't actually contact the Dublin Port Police, which...
The police? You're not going to tell me the police are ex-directory.
I think they are, yeah. It's probably the only police force in the world there are. Anyway, I run Guard Headquarters, asked for... whichever station covered the port, phoned them. Your man wasn't interested. He didn't really want to know. Now, that was it. I couldn't do any more. Now, to be fair, the SPCA did ring me back Monday. The guy was very apologetic and said, look, you know, very sorry and this, that and the other. And I think I gave him the details at the time. But, you know, I just felt that, I just thought they were more likely going for the boat and... You know, they've been grave. If somebody could have stopped, checked, made sure that you know they had pet passports, or they were looked after, whatever. You know, but
could you just phone the Dublin Port?
Well, who would you speak to in Dublin Port?
You just say, can
there's
I speak
a container
to
container terminal? There's two.
No, it's massive.
The terminals, I don't know where they were
52
going.
52 acre, more 100, nah. 100 acre. But surely you could have said them. Well, by the way, you did your best. You got the reg number.
Yeah.
And you did your best. Sorry, I'm not trying to... How many pups do you reckon was in the van, Andrew?
I'd say there was over a dozen. You know, it just surprised me. When she opened the side-loading door, all you could see was sort of small cages with them in. And the fact that had there been a vent on the roof and these vents on the side, they probably wouldn't have sort of thought, look, you know...
Were the cages stacked on top of each other?
Yeah, they were, yeah. There was
and was there any... I hope there was a floor in each one of them, at least.
Well, I don't know.
Do you follow me for the bloody...
Yeah, I wasn't close enough to see.
Yeah, no, you did your best. You did whatever you could, Andrew. Thanks, Need. 51551. Anne, good afternoon. You bought a Westie in Wexford.
Yes.
And do you reckon you bought it on a puppy farm, looking back?
I don't know if I bought it on a puppy farm, but the dog was certainly... The breeding was definitely... unsuitable. I mean, I did a lot of research. I did as many checks as possible. I was told that the dog was being reared in the family home, and that they were registered, that there would be, he'd have his injections, all that sort of stuff. And I had initially talked to somebody in Longford who wanted to meet in a garage. So I decided, no, won't do that. So we went to a farm near Enniscorthy in Wexford. And there were three pups, but they were in a shed with a concrete floor, just a few newspapers and a box. They were very young. He was probably too young to be taken from the mother. We had been told he would see both dogs, didn't. The shed, when the door was closed, that shed was completely in darkness. There was three beautiful pups, and... the thing is, like, you go there particularly, two kids with me. I mean, you're not going to come away without a dog.
I know what you mean, yeah.
And we paid £360 for him, which if he was properly bred would be fair enough. But he's had, just after paying £800 for knee surgery for him, he has a problem. He's had his right knee done. He may have to have the left one done. He's got arthritis, some element of arthritis in both hips. He's got white dog shaker syndrome. Which is a bit like Parkinson's for dogs. He has problem with one ear. He tends to get skin problems. Mm. And socially, he was supposed to be socialised, and he obviously wasn't. So, you know, he doesn't mix with other dogs and all that sort of stuff. Now, he looked into bits. Beautiful dog.
Yeah.
But having gone to so much trouble to avoid a poorly bred dog, we obviously walked straight into it.
Because I'm baffled. I'm astonished by the number of calls we're getting on this. We seem to be the puppy farm capital of the world, are we at this stage? What is it? I want to bring, is it Louise who's mentioning Michael Puppy Farm? Louise, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. I am mentioning Michael Puppy Farm.
Now, tragically, there's a number of... horrible, really, aspects of this. One, it was in the paper, it was in court, that's why it was in the paper, Carlow Circuit Court. And it relates to findings in April 2015. James Kavanagh, 48, pleaded guilty to 30 counts of causing or allowing animal cruelty on his property. Now, the horror in this is that when this case and when James was sent to prison, he's 48 and his wife was given a suspended sentence after she admitted 30 counts, tragically, their son was killed in a car crash shortly afterwards. So it's unspeakable distress now for everyone. But so we'll go back to your experience of going to this. Did you go to the puppy farm, Louise? And
no,
how?
No, Joe. Yeah. I came via Daisy, who's a Yorkie, through rescue with the LSPCA. So I have Daisy 4 years now with seven other rescue dogs. And Daisy, to this day, will only come to us when there's food involved. Okay. You can't pick her up. You can't go to her. And I would like to emphasize to people that the physical ailments may be fixed by a vet if you have intestinal problems or knee problems, but psychologically she's damaged for the rest of her life. And I don't think people are aware of how much socialization puppies need with each other and interaction with humans. So if you're bringing a puppy home, you want a puppy that's part of your family. And 4 years on, Daisy just sits by herself and we can barely touch her.
You're saying Daisy is mentally scarred from what
mentally
happened
damaged
to her,
yeah,
on that farm?
Yeah, lack of stimulation.
And what was going on, insofar as you know, Louise, what was going on at Michael?
Well, my reading is the puppies were all just thrown in with the mums, bread, food handed in. So they were never picked up or touched or played with or interacted. So they've no social skills.
But were they, was it a puppy farm? Were they used to be bred to be sold?
Oh, yeah. This is a place that was closed down, and there was another little pal of hers, Maisie, that came. And Maisie had no hind feet from standing in urine. She lives not too far from here. And on the other hand, I have Buzz, who was very badly cut to pieces and tied up and left to die to a tree in Portlaoise. She's a Staffordshire Bull Terrier, but he has no mental issues because somewhere along the line, someone petted him and interacted with him. I just can't emphasize enough to people the lack of stimulation with puppies. It leaves lifelong scars. You're going to have a puppy who just will grow into a dog who has huge behavioural problems and issues. And it's not fair on people either. They pay money. But really, 300 for a purebred dog is not a lot of money.
But Louise, had you heard of Michael Farm before the court case?
Oh, yeah. Everybody knew about Michael.
Well, what did they know about Michael?
They knew Michael, that there'd been horses left to starve to death, that there are endless puppies over there. And I knew when I was getting her, there would be problems, but
and no one, if people knew, now I'm not being, I don't know the timeline here, but if people knew there was horses starving and animals being mistreated, did they not ring the Gardaí?
As far as I know, the guards were brought in, like, taking months and years to come to court. I suppose we all know things in Irish society was brushed underneath the carpet and it didn't come to light for a long time. But just please be careful when you're buying your puppies.
Yeah.
It's a big commitment.
Are there many insofar as you know, are there many puppy farms in Ireland?
Yes.
Like when you say yes, is there one in every county?
Probably two or three in every county. That doesn't even, they're the registered ones, the people who breed dogs ad lib.
So
just
there's
to have a puppy and sell puppies for 300 or 400 euros, and if you have a bitch who has 4 or 5 pups and you get 300 euros, well, sure, why not? And breed her again and again. Nope. And the big selling point is, oh, we didn't register because register makes it too expensive. I think it's only 50 or 60 euros to actually register up at the kennel club.
But Louise,
say,
why?
Oh, it'd be like, much dearer if it was registered. That's rubbish.
Yeah, but on the one hand, you're saying they're rearing these dogs to make money, to sell them. So if they're rearing them to sell them, why would you treat them so badly where they'd look so bad and they'd look so unwell?
But I suppose when people get to, maybe they're brushed over. You've heard that lady, they're brought to meet different places. They're put out in people's houses so they look as if they're part of the family. And if you breed in numbers, they're like everything, you can sell them cheap.
Okay.
Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks for contacting us, Louise. That's Louise Drew. And she's involved in animal welfare, as you can hear, in Laois. Mary Ryan is in Carlo. What did you buy, Mary?
I have a Cavalier King Charles, Joe.
And where did you get the Cavalier King Charles?
I got the Cavalier King Charles in County Wexford. And, sorry.
And do you reckon it was a puppy farm he or she came from?
Her name is Khaleesi. she has it advertised, obviously, and of course I love Cavalier King Charles, so I said I'd go down and see the dog. So I met the mother, and there was a lot of King Charles there, a lot of them. There was, oh, I can't even imagine how many there was. So, but the mother never seemed to get up off the ground, and I said to my husband, I said, God, that dog never seems to get up off the ground, even when the pups are running around. So we got her anyway. I think she was 11 weeks old. We were late collecting her, and we're kind of oblivious to what, when we got the dog home, like what, normally the feeding and what, looking after the dog. But we, for health issues, we were warned that Cavalier King Charles have a lot of health issues.
Okay.
So I said to my husband, Philip, at the time, I said, I think I'll get the dog insured just to be on the safe side. So anyway, we got the dog insured through Allianz, which is great. And when she was 3 years old, we were walking the dog, and I said, that dog seems to be walking very funny. There's something not right. And when we'd pick her up, she would literally scream. I said, this is not right. So I took her to a vet in Kilkenny, and they did the x-rays, they did all the work, and they said that your dog has severe hip dysplasia. And I said, what's that? Yeah. And they said, it's an abnormality development in dogs that leads to arthritis. And hers, I think there's a scale of 1 to 5, and she was 5. And he said, she's only 3 years of age. He said, if she was 7, we'd put her down. I said, you're not putting the dog down. I said, there has to be something you can do for the dog, so give me the alternative. So he said, we'll give her Cartrafin, which is an injection into the hip, I think, and at least it was nearly every 2 months. So it's nearly 3 months, 6 months, and 1 year. But she was so severe, she was getting it every 3 months into the hip, and that seemed to build the fluid around her joints. So he showed me the x-ray, and the ball fits into the socket, but Khaleesi's was actually it was way outside the socket. So every time she walked, she was in severe pain.
So how is Khaleesi now?
Well, she's actually over surgery again. This is her second surgery. She actually, not alone did she have hip dysplasia, but both her knees were dislocated. And I was told she had a slight heart murmur, and she had anal problems, and she had ear problems, she had eye problems. So I said, okay. So I actually, in the meantime, I had got another dog from Cara Rescue, and it was a little Yorkshire Terrier. And the vet that was attending that dog, she has a mild form of hip dysplasia. And I met the surgeon down in Carlow. He's a lovely surgeon. His name is Andrew. And in vet care in Carlow, I said, Andrew, you wouldn't mind if I'd asked the vets in Kilkenny if they could perform surgery if it's that severe. And they said, no, we haven't operated on dogs in 16 years. And I thought, this is not going to work. This Cartrafin is just not working. So I met the vet down in Carlow, and I had the x-rays transferred to his surgery. And he said, Mary, this dog is very... This hip dysplasia is very severe. The dog needs surgery. So I said, I'm covered up to 4,000. Will that do? And he said, yeah, that's no problem. So the dog had her hip done on her left side, and she had her knee done at the same time, which was about 3 to 6 months recovery.
Wow. And how much? I know it's not the issue, as you, given the care you have for the dog. How much have you spent?
Between insurance and between the surgery and between the first lot of vets, I reckon it's over 4,000.
And how much did you pay for Khaleesi?
I think it was 250, 300.
Okay.
Now, and no, there's no cost with me with the dog, because I love the dog.
I know that. I can hear that, Mary.
She just is.
And people do love the dog to bits. Stay there, Mary. Colette is in Tremor. Colette.
Hi, Joe.
You say you're not proud of what you did.
Well, I didn't exactly say that.
It was
how I fell into what became a business at the time, because I needed to earn my living. And I got to know a lot of the dog people and the dog breeders and how the system worked. And I put a lot of blame back then when I began to realise that some of the groups of breeders I couldn't work with because of the state of the puppies.
So what were you doing, Colette? What was your job?
Well, I used to collect puppies and keep them until they were ready, vaccinate them and do everything, warm them and whatever, and I exported them to France, to Paris. But not before I had gone over to see the place and meet the people. But however, this
and
is...
And in your time, are you still involved in exporting
not
dogs?
Not at all. I'm okay. an old woman now, Joe.
Oh, well, you don't
but I have tried to do something about this all down the years.
Okay.
And I've met a brick wall. The first problem, as I saw it at the time, was the Kennel Club. They insisted on everybody being members and every pup being registered. But they wouldn't put inspectors on the road because it would cost them the earning power of the inspector. They then changed the scheme, and we had to become a member if you dealt with the dog at all, which I readily did. And then I asked, could I go to the AGM? When was the AGM? And the woman, I remember her name, laughed at me on the phone, and she said, "What do you mean an AGM?" Well, I said, "You've made us become members. We're entitled to go to the AGM." Oh, she said, "This is a private club." Now, you can go back in the 1970s and 80s and find out people that whose names you know, Joe,
And
were members of the
Colette, how many dogs do you reckon you exported over the years?
I have no idea. I'm not going to go back on that. This is not the point of the problem. The point of the problem is to solve it. And it can be solved with rules and regulations being maintained.
So what has happened? So you're saying, on the one hand, you were a legitimate dog trader.
Yes, I was the first person to register with the revenue.
Okay, and how did it all go bad?
It didn't all go bad.
You did tell me that you realised people were being unscrupulous.
Yes, and
that's what I'm trying to find out.
I did my best by trying to go to the Kennel Club, becoming a member of the Kennel Club, trying to go to their AGM, which didn't exist.
Okay, and why did you get out of the business then?
I just got old, Joe.
Okay. Are there many puppy farms in Ireland, Colette, do you think?
I don't know at this stage, obviously. But I would prefer to address the means of stopping it and the means of controlling rather than putting myself on trial here for something.
Oh, no, you've got it.
Well,
I hope you don't feel
your tone of voice sometimes changes.
Oh, sorry, Colette, I apologise.
I think you do a great job. I have to say that, and I keep following you.
But you
sometimes
didn't...
I don't agree with you, but
I know, I understand that. But you didn't run a puppy farm.
No, I didn't, Joe,
Okay, and you said you vetted everyone.
But I was in the way of doing something about it. I then joined the Green Party later and asked them, could I be on... John Gormley tried to do something, and he brought in rules and regulations about puppy farming, which
you covered
at the time, and I had I rang you about it at the time as well, wanting an input. I can't remember if I was on with you, but I can tell you that nothing came of that. It was all fizz and fizz and fizz for a while, and then, like everything in Ireland, it's pushed back under the carpet and everything is forgotten. And the mixed breeding that's going on is actually feeding into this puppy farming now, because they do not have to. They do not have to register with the Kennel Club. This is now, it is producing better bred dogs in the sense that they're not inbred, but it is not helping the production of dogs that are being charged 1,000. I can't believe the cost of people. The first woman you had on was the only person that I heard talking common sense. I'm not decrying anybody else's opinion, but she was talking common sense. They take in dogs that the buyers, who have paid maybe €1,000 for, come along a month later, they've too much poo to pick up, the dog got sick in the car, the dog can't be taken, he's getting too big, he's this, that and the other, he's breaking into the neighbour, throw the dog out at the next thing, and no chip. So nobody knows who the dog is. And those people are wonderful, the dog warden people. They take in dogs sometimes when they don't have the money to run their own houses. And they take in these dogs, they retrain them, they clean them up, they warm them, they wash them, they get rid of itch from their skin. They bring them back into what a well-reared dog should be as far as they can. And they try to rehome them for the cost of that. And what people prefer to buy €1,000 dog, because they can say, I paid €1,000 up and so and so for it. Common sense is sadly lacking.
Okay, but can I detect that you're campaigning now against the puppy farms?
I have always campaigned against the puppy farms. But you know, Joe, when you take on something that...
Where there's money involved, did you?
Yes. First of all, you're taking that on, number one. Number two... It's just hard to keep going at private interest things. I mean, there are a lot. There are terrible things going on that are allowed under commerce, and nobody does anything nor wants to do anything about it. So I don't know how. I do know how you go about the problem in Ireland, though, because you can replicate the New Zealand system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wouldn't necessarily want to live in New Zealand in the sense that it's nearly too policed. But the dog system is fantastically well done. And if you give me a minute, I'll explain it to you.
Yes.
Can I go ahead?
Of course.
If you want to buy a dog, you have to register with the animal welfare people, okay? Then you have to take puppy rearing lessons.
Okay.
When you pass that, you can go along. You get a license then. You have to pay for your license.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to go along and you pick out your pup, which has been the owner of which has been registered with the same group. So you choose your pup, you pay for your pup, you have your license, and you go off and you use your training. As you progress and as the puppy progresses and grows, all the vaccinations have to be sorted out and done under the same grouping.
Is it a puppy you're adopting in New Zealand or a child?
Yeah, that's exactly. That is a very good question.
No, but animals deserve to be treated.
That is a very good question because you don't have dogs.
But have we enough dog wardens in Ireland?
No.
Have they?
One dog warden for the whole of County Waterford.
Ah, for God's sake! Have they?
That is the problem.
Have they any?
But if you have a well-behaved owner and a well-behaved dog, there's no problem anywhere. But another one of your listeners earlier passed the comment that heard, oh no, it was on a different programme, would you believe, said that she had a wonderful dog, but the dog was so socialised with her children, she was afraid her children would think all dogs were like that. And of course, this is a problem as well. All dogs are not like that.
Okay.
But the law at the moment says dogs in public places have to be on a lead. And dogs with muzzles have to have a muzzle on in public places. That is not, nobody asks the question, why is that not looked after in Ireland? But the dog warden, sure, he can't do it. One person can't do it in the whole of County Waterford.
Okay. Colette, thanks indeed. Thanks for your contribution. That's Colette in Tramore. 51551.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
51551 text. Jackie, you say you can describe a puppy farm. Whereabouts, generally, whereabouts is this puppy farm?
Well, it's generally in the Wexford area. Okay, so puppy farms, like the horrible pictures that people have seen on Facebook or on the internet, that's what they are. They're, you know, if you imagine trying to look after 200 or 300 pups, or 200 or 300, sorry, mothers and the pups that they have, it's nigh on impossible. And an awful lot of the time, Joe.
So like what's give me pictures, Jackie. What is the setup on one of these puppy farms? First of all, it's in a barn, is it indoors?
Well, first of all, they'd have to be, and they're in like they're big barns. They're indoors, and some of the puppy farms, and I'm not saying that these are in Wexford, but around the country would be. The dogs themselves would be in crates.
Okay.
Just in crates, so like totally enclosed.
What do you mean? Do you mean wooden crates?
Like wooden crates, yes, wooden crates.
And where's the ventilation or the
Well, there'd be little, you know, like a little bit of wire ventilation for the dogs. A little bit of wire ventilation. A lot of them would have automatic feeders.
Oh.
So that, you know, they're not even getting interaction with it. But in all fairness, like, who would be able to look after 200 or 300 breeding bitches? And that's only what the puppy farmers are saying they have. Yeah. You know, this is the thing. And my main point, though, Joe, I wanted to make was when people buy these dogs and see the conditions of these dogs, they should report them to the local councils, the local wardens as well. Because there's no point, I'm with South East Animal Rescue, but there's no point in just us going to them all the time. We need everybody to put pressure on the councils and especially the county councils to let them know how bad these places are.
And
I'm after buying a dog.
Who polices puppy farms?
As far as I know, it's usually the local council. And then I think they're also registered, if I'm not mistaken, with the Department of Agriculture. But you can actually go in and see how many puppy farms per county there are. Now, somebody else with the knowledge will tell you exactly where you'd get all that information. But you can actually see the puppy farms. You can see how many breeding bitches that they have. They have all the addresses and everything. So with the councils, as far as I know, it's actually under the local councils.
Yeah, but what was Colette saying there? She exported dogs to Paris primarily, I think. But she said there was only one dog warden in Waterford.
There's only one in Wexford.
Wow.
There's only, you know what I mean? Like, they don't have the rules. And the warden in Wexford is great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They, honest to God, do the best that they can do. But they really need more wardens. They need more people out there. Just mandatory spaying and neutering would be my thing. But it's just constant. And then the other thing, the other big problem is so many of the dogs, we cannot even rehome here, that we have to send them over to rescues in the UK.
Oh, do you?
We have to. Yeah. There is no, like, I have two collies at the moment. Nobody wants them. Okay. Nobody wants them. They came out of a horrendous condition. They have an awful place. And nobody wants them. I've alerted her as well. I have looking for a home. She was dumped on the side of the road, Joe, with her sister. She's going to have to go to the UK because I've tried homing her here for the last few months and nothing.
But when you say, like you say, go on to the Department of Agriculture, well, so these puppy farms are licensed.
They, of course, they're licensed.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Stay there, Jackie. 51551.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Marion Fitzgibbon is in Limerick, Limerick Animal Welfare. Marion, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
The puppy farms are licensed.
They are licensed, and mostly they are licensed by the local dog wardens. Well, definitely in Limerick, I can't. They are visited. Now, it was pointed out already, our wardens are very much, you know.
And how many breeding bitches, as they say, are allowed on it?
Well, we have within a 50-mile radius of me, I'm told there's about 8 puppy farms. And, I mean, that's not the whole of Limerick. It varies from county to county, but every county has a few, and some of us are more endowed than others with our puppy farms, and they're all different conditions. You can see puppies in sheds that would be really... Mm-hmm. We have one in Limerick that's really only suitable for maybe a chicken coop or something with very flimsy building, and to a concrete building that's really old and pitted and full of disease.
Well, if the dog, as people say, there's not very few dog wardens, can the ISPCA help?
They actually have a campaign on about puppy farms at the moment. We're all looking for legislation. I was at a meeting on the 29th of January in Leinster House for a smaller group when we were invited up. Maureen O'Sullivan graciously got us to meet Minister Sean Kenny, and he was very supportive. They're drawing up new guidelines, but I just said, what are we at guidelines and what are we doing? We need legislation, because there is no proper legislation to govern these puppy farms. How did they start? How many years ago? They obviously began to get a hold in Ireland when we didn't have legislation about environmental, how they dispose of their effluent, what kind of buildings they must have. It's all guidelines and recommendations. So you get different standards from puppy farm to puppy farm. And as they say, maybe some people are doing their best, but the majority are not.
And if you had your way, I'm stuck for time. Marion, if you had your way, would you ban puppy farms in Ireland?
Puppy farms are the greatest cause of cruelty to dogs. And
so you
when
would,
I went
so
to
you,
that meeting on the...
So you would ban them?
Well, if they can't be controlled, they have to be stamped out. But I would think if we could bring in the control, like you started to talk about the UK legislation coming in, if we could control these puppy farms, I mean, obviously some of them do their best and it's a commercial entity. But I mean, of course, I'd rather not see them at all. But I'm conscious.
Okay, rather not see them at all. Dr. Andrew Kenny is Chief Executive of the ISPCA. Andrew, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What's the ISPCA line on puppy farms? Should they be banned?
Well, first of all, I think people need to understand what a puppy farm is. And actually, when they refer to a puppy farm, they're referring to a licensed dog breeding establishment under the Dog Breeding Establishments Act. Mm-hmm. And anybody who has six or more female dogs over the age of 6 months and capable of breeding must be licensed and registered by the local authority who have responsibility for enforcing the legislation.
And do you know how many many owners or whatever are licensed in Ireland?
Yeah, we do. So there's around 75 licensed and registered commercial dog breeding establishments in Ireland. They're across the country, and they're producing somewhere in the region of 20,000 to 30,000 puppies a year. But there's also most of those, of course, are exported to the UK for the market there. Because
that market is about to dry up, isn't it?
Well, no, that market will never dry up. So what will happen is it will be supplied one way or the other. We know that there's 350,000 puppies being imported into the UK from Eastern Europe. And we reckon anywhere between 30 and 100,000 from Ireland because there's very little or very few puppies being bred in the UK because they've stamped down on it. But they've essentially created a sink so other countries are supplying the demand that will still be there. The reality is that the demand is fueling the supply. So we would always encourage people to adopt and not buy a puppy, but people will buy puppies. Yeah. So what we want them to be able to do is to buy a healthy, well-socialized puppy that's going to make a great family pet for a long time. And that's what we need to do with dog breeding. People are calling for them to be banned. People are not going to stop breeding dogs. But I have to say, Joe, a lot has been done over the last 4 or 5 years. Your listeners may well have seen the case that was finalised in court recently in Meishel in County Carlow.
Yeah, we referred to that earlier in great detail,
Yeah, so that person received 3 years in jail. But since then, there's actually been a lot of improvements. Marion mentioned new guidelines there, and these new guidelines are now in force. They came into force on the 1st of January this year. And there's been a lot of changes, and we campaigned very hard to get those changes in. So language such as the breeder should do this and should do that has now been replaced by must or shall.
And what's the sanction?
Well, under the Dog Breeding Establishments Act, there's very few offences, and we've actually called for a review of the Act itself, which is going to happen.
Okay,
so there will be stronger legislation. We've seen, because our inspectors are in and out of these places regularly, and last year we shut down two unlicensed breeders and removed 125 dogs from those. If people are concerned about the welfare of pups in dog breeding establishments, they should call the ISPCA.
Okay, I will leave it at that because I'm way over time. That's Andrew Kelly, Chief Executive ISPCA. Fergus Sweeney, producer. Ray Darcy is next.